Well, that'll work, won't it? Good job, Fran. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, please. We heard some great singing this week, and certainly wasn't any better than what you just heard, that's for sure. But we heard some good singing this week. And Nancy's not here. Nancy Conley and Gil went on for vacation. They're not here. And so I'm going to tell on Nancy. We sat right behind Gil and Nancy. And boy, they'd be up there singing, up there preaching. And Nancy was throwing her hand up in the air. Boy, she was saying amen, throwing her hand up. Wasn't she? Did you see her? Amen. Boy, I got all excited watching Nancy. Boy, she was getting into it. Amen. All right. Now listen, I want to read you a few verses here. And this is a great passage of Scripture. You're familiar with it. But I want to speak on what I'm going to entitle the twin graces this morning. The twin graces. And you follow along in your Bible. As we begin in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now right there are your twin graces, full of grace and truth. Reading on, verse 15, "John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the twin characteristics of Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you now for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray once again that you will bless as the Word of God is preached from this pulpit. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for a Bible that we know is the Word of God. And Lord, if I did not believe that I had before me this morning an inspired, infallible, preserved copy of the Word of God, Lord, I think I'd just go on back to my office and drink coffee this morning. But Lord, this is your book, and it's eternal in the heavens. And heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of this Bible will ever fail. And so, Lord, I pray that you will bless it as it's preached this morning. And Lord, ask that you will speak to our hearts and open our understanding to what we're about to hear. And Father, I pray that if there's one here today that is not sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may they see their need of the Savior today. And then, Lord, for all the Christians that are here, I pray that the Word of God will not return void, but, Lord, it will do a work in our hearts and draw us closer to our precious and wonderful Savior. And so, Father, we thank you so much for your blessing. Now, use this message to touch our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the twin characteristics of our Savior. There are a lot of twins in the Bible. There are people twins in the Bible. For instance, there's Jacob and Esau. They're probably the most well-known of all the twins in the Bible. I don't know if you realize it, but Thomas, one of our Lord's disciples, was a twin. That's what the word Didymus means. It means twin. And there are lots of twins found in the Bible. One of the obscure sets of twins is found back in the Old Testament, kind of tucked away in the genealogies. This mom and dad had two little boys one time and named them Huzz and Buzz. Yeah, really. You can check on it. You can look it up. That's what they named them. Huzz, H-U-Z, and Buzz, B-U-Z. But I'm not going to preach on Huzz and Buzz this morning. But I do want to speak on twins, but not from the standpoint of people. I want to speak to you this morning from the standpoint of characteristics. There are a couple of times in the Bible, in the Scriptures, where the Bible speaks of different graces which characterize the people of God or that characterize the Lord Jesus Christ. In our text verse, in verse 14, the Scriptures tell us that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to see the distinction between these two words. He was full of grace, and then on the other side, he was full of truth. Now, I'll deal with that more in just a minute, but let me get you thinking in the same vein of in which I'm thinking this morning. Let me give you another characteristic, another set of characteristics that go together, although they don't appear to go together. Just like grace does not appear to go with truth, there's another one I want to give you, and as I give it to you, it'll get you thinking the way that I want you to think this morning. Don't turn to it, but in Romans chapter 10 and in verse number 2, the Bible says that the Jews had zeal. They had zeal, but not according to knowledge. So you have another set of characteristics. You have zeal on one side and knowledge on the other side. Now, you say, what do you mean those two don't go together? Well, think about it. In most situations, they should go together, but in most situations, they don't go together. And that's kind of what I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on the fact that the Bible gives us these characteristics, and even though they're on opposite sides of one another, they're supposed to go together. It's just a shame that we don't use them together. That's what I want to speak on this morning. That's basically what I want you to see. Grace, truth, zeal, knowledge. Zeal and knowledge don't often go together. They don't often work in the same way. And I want to get this idea drilled into our hearts this morning. You find some people that will say, yeah, boy, it's just dead. It's as dry as cracker juice around here in this church. Well, I want to get some zeal going. I want some excitement in this church. And they'll sit there and they'll get all cranked up about the zeal, and they want the zeal, and they do anything to get the zeal, and they get all fired up and all excited. And very often in situations like that, what you end up with is a bunch of wildfire that is just sounding brass and tingling cymbal. It's just noise that doesn't have anything to back it up. And so then you'll see preachers that will get on the other side and they'll say, you know, I'm just opposed to all this emotionalism. I'm opposed to all this emotionalism. I don't think we ought to have emotionalism just for the sake of having emotionalism. And I think what we need to do is we need to know something. We need some knowledge. And so then what happens is you end up with a church that is just focused upon knowledge, and they just want the deep things of God, and they don't want any preaching. They just want to learn and study the Scriptures. And then what you end up with is a bunch of intellectuals who are sitting around like a bunch of knots on a log that don't know how to win a soul to Christ and don't care one whit about winning a soul to Christ. So, I mean, you look at churches in America today, and you will find that most of them are either over here in the emotional side, and it's just all hoop and holler, and there's nothing to it. It's just all sounding brass and tingling cymbal, but that's it. And then on the other side, you got those that are so appalled by emotionalism, and they want the deeper things, and yet they're as dry as they can be. They're drier than last year's bird's nest. And that's exactly the way you can look. Now, folks, I submit to you that what we need in our churches today and what we need here at Church the Open Door, and one of the things that I strive for, one of the things that I try to do, is to get a balance of the two. I want there to be a balance of the two. I want you to know something, of course, but I also want you to feel something. I want you to have the knowledge of the truth. I want you to understand the Word of God, to know the Bible, to know how to stand for God, to know how to rightly discern the Word of God. I want you to understand the doctrines of the Bible and to understand how to tell somebody to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. But I don't want it done with using those big 50-cent words where you're talking over the heads of people and where there's no passion and no fire in your heart that drives you and motivates you to want to go out and see the world as in need of that knowledge that you have. Everybody understand that? So they had zeal, but not according to knowledge. Folks, we need zeal, but we also need knowledge. I mean, you need to know something. Amen. But then, I want you to go to the text here. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus had truth, but He also had grace. Now, again, just like zeal and knowledge, truth and grace are on opposite sides of the spectrum. But yet what we find here is that the Lord Jesus was balanced, and He had both graces at the same time. Now, I remember when my twin girls were little. When they were little babies, it was interesting to see their characteristics. And we were talking about it yesterday. We were talking about how when they were newborns, they would swap personalities about every month. It was an amazing thing. One would act a certain way for about a month, and the other would act a certain way for about a month. And then it was just like they reversed their personalities, and the other took on the characteristics of the one, and the other took on... I mean, it was really strange, and we marveled at that. And to be sure, there were many similarities, and as the girls continued to grow, and as they went through grade school, and then junior high school, and then high school, and now college, and now married, I mean, it was amazing the similarities, how similar those girls are, and always have been, but yet they are as different as they can be. They are as different in their characteristics as they can be. And folks, that is the similarity between these characteristics. They are two different things, completely one on opposite ends of the spectrum, yet they so very much go together. Now, let's go to our text and let's look at the Lord Jesus and let's learn what these two characteristics were and how He displayed them. And then, if we have time, we will see that we need to work on these things in our lives. Now, the first thing I want you to see this morning, Christ, the Bible here says, was full. Now get that. He was full of grace and of truth. He was full of grace, but yet at the same time, He was full of truth. Now folks, you might not understand truth the Bible proper way, but let me just see if I can simplify it to let it just sink into your mind what it is. We must understand truth simply as that which is right. That which is right. That's truth. That which is right. I want you to know, we've studied on Wednesday nights now for 4 or 5 years, the life of Christ. And if there's one thing we've learned, we have learned that the Lord Jesus always, always did right. Not one time did He ever do the wrong thing. He always did the right thing. His every act, His every word, his every thought was always on the right. Now, let me show you how the two work together. Do you remember when he came out of Jericho and there was a blind man standing at the gate and he heard all the hustle and the bustle and he said to somebody going by, "What's all this activity? What's this I hear?" And somebody said, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And boy, old blind Bartimaeus, his name Bartimaeus. Timaeus means blind man. And Bar means the son of. He was the son of a blind man. There was blindness that went, that was in their family. Anyway, as Jesus passed by, Bartimaeus cried out, and the Lord Jesus stopped, went over to him, and healed him of his blindness. Folks, that was Jesus full of grace. Do you remember in Matthew 23 when he publicly skinned the Pharisees? You remember that? All the Pharisees came, started asking him questions, and boy, he stood up and he just tore into them with 3 points in a poem. I mean, just preached his little heart out to them, and there they stood in front of the people, and he just completely skinned them of all of their Pharisaical behavior and heart and action, and told them exactly the way it was. That was Jesus full of truth. Folks, when he went to Calvary, he died for our sins. That's Jesus full of grace. But then he told Judas, right before he went to the cross, he told Judas to go out and do what he was planning to do. That was Jesus full of truth. Oh, listen, folks, I wish that I could be more like him. I wish that all of us could be more like him. We are to be Christ-like in our lives, in our actions. And I find myself, and if you think about it, you'll find yourself doing battle with ourselves, with our flesh. We find ourselves doing battle right here in this very area. I mean, I'll preach a message. I'll preach a message to you. And somebody asked me, said, all these people were coming up to me at the store and say, "Hey, thanks for putting your sermons on your website, on the internet." And I don't do that. Aaron Fuchs does that. And he asked me if he could do it. And I said, "Well, I don't care." But they came and they say, "Thank you for putting your sermon on the internet." And I said, "Well, you're welcome." And this one young preacher, he said, "Man, I haven't had to study for weeks." I said, whoa. I said, "What'd you say?" He started laughing. He said, "Yeah." He said, "Man," he said, "remember that sermon you did?" I said, "Yeah, I remember that." He said, "Oh, that worked good. You remember that sermon?" Yeah. I said, "Yeah." He said, "That one worked good too." And he said, "Man, I love it when you just go off and you start bashing liberals and you start preaching against sin." He said, "I just love that." And that's why I don't listen to myself preach. I do not listen. I cannot tell you the last time I listened to a sermon. I had Fran copy that Esau message that I preached at the Sword Conference. I had her copy that sermon so I could listen to it. And I got about 10 minutes into it, and I said, "Oh, my goodness. And how do y'all listen to me? I do not understand that." And I turned it off. I don't like to listen to it. You say, "Well, why don't you like to listen to it?" I'm mean. When I start preaching, listen, I'm a nice guy, but boy, when I get behind this pulpit, I get mean. And I don't listen to it. And so I say, "Boy, listen to you preach. And here's why I don't do it. Listen to you preach. You're mean. You are a mean man. You should not be saying the things you do. You just reach out there and pow, bop them right in the noggin. You shouldn't be doing that." And so here's what I'll do. I'll tell myself, "I need more grace. You got the truth, but now you need more grace." And so when I listen to myself, I find myself all of a sudden wanting to get real soft. I find me wanting to get real weak. I find me wanting to get starting to compromise a little bit, let down. You know, kind of just say, "That's okay. Y'all can do what you want to do." I find myself saying, "Well, we can loosen up the music a little bit." I find myself saying, "Yeah, you know, we can loosen up the dress code a little bit." Folks, let me tell you something. We have got to work in our lives to keep a balance. There's got to be truth, but there's got to be grace. And I say the minute you get the truth, you're going to lose the grace. You lose the grace, and then you get the grace and you're going to lose the truth. And I'm saying what we need to do is work on finding ourselves a compromise, a balance in the middle, and have both of these graces. That's the way our Lord was. That's the way our Lord was. I get the truth and then I lose the grace. And then I say, oh my goodness, I need that grace back. I need that grace back. And so then I lose the truth. And when I start working on the grace part, I find myself wanting to join the ministerium downtown and you know, all kinds of things cross my mind. So then I say, oh, wait a minute, well, I can't do that. I need that truth back. And then so I study and I prepare a message with the idea of truth, truth, truth. And then I find myself wanting to shoot liberals and beat up sinners. I mean, good night. There's got to be a balance somewhere in there, folks. We've got to have that balance in our Christian lives so that we have the truth, but we also have the grace. And that's the battle that many of us fight. Let me see if I can further explain it. I know some preachers, and I've been around this a little bit, so I know what I'm talking about. But I know some preachers that years ago, they used to stand. I mean, they went to the same schools. They went to the same pastors' fellowship meetings. They went to the same national conference, and they used to take a stand. But I know some preachers, they don't want to offend. They don't want to hurt anybody. So they wimp around and never preach on sin, and then they end up having a weak church. And then I know some other preachers that all they're doing is looking for a fight. I mean, they're just looking for a fight. They don't care who it is. They don't care if it's the deacons or the guy across town or the guy across the street. I mean, they just don't care who it is. All they want to do is just fight. The truth, the truth, the truth. And they have a weak church. They have a weak church. Well, folks, I want you to know the Lord Jesus had both. And everywhere He went, multitudes of people followed Him. They followed Him because He had the truth, but He also exhibited grace. And that's what we need in the Church of the Open Door. That's what I need in my life. That's what you need in your life. But we have to have a balance. Folks, there's a time and a place for grace to shine, and there's a time and a place for truth to shine. There's a time to be compassionate and kind, and there is a time to take a stand for the truth. I never will forget several years ago when I first came here as pastor. And you know, when you come into a new church, and especially I was 40 years old when I came here, and you know, I realized that I was following one of America's greatest preachers. I understood that. I understood that he had spent his life building this church. I understood Pastor Baker's sacrifice to start this church. I mean, all that was heavy on my shoulders. I understood that I inherited a church staff. I understood that. These guys, some of them, not all of them, but a couple of them are still here, were here when I came. Five of them. I had five, right, when I came here? Five? But who's still here? You're still here. Huh? John Campbell's still here. Is that it? Okay, the rest of them I've run off. And no, that's not true either. Every one of them, praise God, is left with a smile on his face and a pocket full of money. Amen. I'm kidding. That was a joke. That was a joke right there. All right? Discernment. All right? Balance. Get your balance there, okay? I was joking right there. But I realized what I was coming into. I understood that. And so, you know, being a little younger, you know, than I am right now, being a little younger and wanting, you know, wanting to fervency, wanting to do well, I came in here and I'll be honest with you, about the first 3 or 4 months, I preached you everything I knew. Sometimes all in one sermon. I preached you everything I knew. And about 2 months after I was here as the new pastor, got a phone call one day, and this lady set up a meeting between her and her husband to come in. They were having some problems. It wasn't serious problems. And they came in to see me. And I noticed when they walked in the door, both of them were just, they were scared. They were scared. You could see it in their face. They were afraid. And they sat down, and it took a few minutes, but I finally began to talk with them and get them to open up a little bit. And so we spent about an hour and a half discussing the situation, and in just a little while, both of them were talking, and we were reasoning, and I sat and I listened and got all the story, and then took the Bible and opened the Bible and showed them some principles, and they saw them, and we smiled, and everything was just wonderful. And as they were getting up to leave, the fellow turned around and he said, "You know, Pastor," he said, "I was a little bit worried to come and see you." I said, "Well, why, brother?" He said, "Well, you know," he said, "when you get up in that pulpit," he said, "my goodness, it's Thunder Alley." He said, "Boy, you get up there and you preach that Bible." He said, "Man," he said, "there's no compromise on the truth when you preach. I mean, it's just the way it is. And if you don't like it, there's the door. I mean, praise God, just preach the Word of God and stand." And he said, "I was a little bit worried to come and see you. But," he said, "you know, I sat here and I saw something today." I said, "Well, what'd you see?" He said, "I saw another side of you." He said, "I saw your heart." I said, "Brother, you hang around me a little bit, you'll see that heart." I said, "The only time you see me is when I'm in that pulpit. But you see, you see what he's saying? And he came over and he patted me on the back and he said, "You're all right." I said, "Thank you. You're okay too." Folks, grace and truth. Grace and truth. Do you remember when Jesus dealt with the lady taken in adultery? And he said to her, "Where are thine accusers?" And she said, "I have none." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee." That's grace. And then he said, "Go and sin no more." That's truth. That's truth. The way to have a balance in your Christian life is to have a knowledge of the Word of God. Knowledge of the Word will teach you about grace. And knowledge of the Word will teach you about truth. And the two will work together. You won't be able to help yourself if you know the Word of God. You won't be able to help yourself. You cannot look at people in a negative light if you know the Word of God. Because God always sees people as they are. You get the Word of God in your heart and you'll find yourself kind and gracious to people. But knowledge of the Word will teach you discernment so that you will be able to be conscious of making the right decisions when it comes time to stand. You'll learn what is right and what is wrong in the Word of God. And the reason so many Christians aren't balanced is because they're not in the Word. Now, Christian, listen. If you just spend 15, 20 minutes a day reading the Word of God, if you just be in church on Sunday morning, listen to me now, Sunday morning, are you listening? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, if you just be in church where you're under the sound of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, you're going to get that balance. It's going to happen to you. What do we do on Sunday? What do we do on Sunday? We have this early service, which you normally attend. Sometimes some of you come to the late service. But most of the time, the early service crowd is the early service crowd. I was thinking the other day, if someone dropped us $50 million, hint, hint, hint. If somebody dropped us $50 million and we were able to build a 3,500-seat auditorium back here in the middle of the lot back there, we're able to seat everybody in the same service, what time would we have to have service? You know, 8:30. I know what you're thinking. 8:30. I know what you're thinking. Balance. Let's have a balance here. You see, we get so stuck in routines. But folks, listen, if we're in the Bible, if we're in church, I mean, listen, what do we do? What do we do in church? You come in here on Sunday morning at 8:30 and we preach the Word of God. Then you go to a thing, or you should go to a thing called Sunday school. What do they do in Sunday school? They teach the Word of God. Preaching reaches the heart, reaches the will, and teaching reaches the mind. It gives you information. It gives you the truth. Preaching takes the truth and applies it to the heart and motivates you to act upon it. And God said it pleased Him by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so, Christian, listen, if you're in church, and I mean Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night church where we're preaching again, but then we come back on Wednesday night, and what do we do on Wednesday night? We teach the Word of God. We dig down in. I like Wednesday night. I love Wednesday night. Man, I love to dig. Listen, it takes me a lot longer to get a Wednesday night Bible study than it does to get a Sunday morning sermon. I can guarantee you that. Why? Because we're digging down into the nuts and bolts of this thing. We're down there throwing wrenches everywhere trying to get the nuggets out. And so you've got two services. Watch me now. You've got two services on Sunday where there is preaching, and then you got two services, Sunday morning, Sunday school, and Wednesday night, where there is teaching, and two is four, and easily divisible by two. We have a balance in that area. Folks, there's got to be a balance in your life. And that's the reason why there are so many people that do not have that balance, is because they're not reading their Bible, and they're not learning that balance from the Word of God. The Bible will teach you a balance. You find yourself becoming more Christ-like. You won't be able to help it. The Word of God will just rub off on you. It'll just rub off on you. I never will forget. I think I've told you this before, and I'll close with this. But I never will forget years ago. You see, what you enjoyed last Sunday, what you enjoyed last Sunday with Glenn Matthews, I had to put up with that for 2 years. It was rough. I had to put up with that for 2 years. I served as his assistant pastor when I was in college, through the summer, and then when my senior year once removed, when I got kicked out of college, I came home and I sat under him for almost a year. Almost a year. And so, all told, about a year and a half, 2 years, I sat under his preaching ministry Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And so, you know, you just, somebody's got to do it. I was privileged to be able to do that. I was privileged. But I knew that I was going to be a preacher. There was no doubt in my mind. I knew what God had called me to do. He called me in the ministry. And I watched him. I watched him develop a message. I watched him gesture. I watched him do everything. And not only that, but folks, I want you to know that man was a teacher on purpose to help me. And we used to sit right over here and he'd say, "Now watch how I do this. Take note." He would sit over here and say, "Okay, I'm going to do this. Now watch how I do this." And he'd look over, he'd say, "You know, the crowd is really down. Watch this." And I paid attention to it. And he taught me how to look. He's the one that taught me how to look at your faces and know what's going on in your head. See, how do you know? That's a learned thing. But it was taught, and I learned it. So how do you know who's here and who's not? That's a learned thing. Of course, it's easy. You all got assigned seats. It's real easy to know who's here and who's not here. It's like taking roll in class in school in the mornings. I mean, my goodness, you learn your class. All right, so all that, but here's the thing. When I got out on my own, when I took we started the first church, and then we moved on to Bell Creek Baptist in Dixie. That was 1980 when I went to Bell Creek Baptist. Do you want to know who was the pastor of Bell Creek Baptist Church in 1958 and 1959? Glenn Matthews. That was his first church. And so there were many people out there in that church who remembered Glenn well. How do you forget that? They remembered him well. And so I had Glenn back for a meeting. And several of the people in the church came up to Glenn. And Glenn was the one who recommended me to the church, by the way. And they came up to Glenn and said, "Man, thanks for recommending Brother Norris to be our pastor." And some of these older folks who knew Glenn who were about the same age as Glenn when he pastored the church. And they said to him, you know, I can sit there and I can close my eyes and I can almost hear a Glenn Matthews 20 years ago. And I found myself gesturing like him. I mean, Glenn's left-handed. Glenn is left. You cut his left hand off and the man would just spin in circles. He is left. Everything he does is left-handed. Everything. And so he gestured with his left hand. And I gesture most of the time with my left hand. I'm right-handed predominantly. But I gesture with my left hand most of the time. Why? I hung around Glenn so much, I thought that's the way you do it. I would notice that whenever he got stuck, which he covered it so well, and I hate to tell you this because you'll be watching for it next time, but if he got stuck, what he would do is he would put his hand, this left hand, across his chest, and he would put his hand up here like this by his chin. And what he was doing was he was distracting the people. He was taking the people's mind off of what he was saying. And he like he was in deep thought. He wasn't in deep thought. He's trying to figure out where he was. Hey, now, you don't think that happens. You get up here and speak. I dare any of you to get up here and speak. I mean, good night. You're intimidated. So why do you write everything out? Duh. I'm not going to get up here and wing it with you. And so here I am. I'm preaching in my first church, and I'll still do this today. I'll be preaching along and say, okay, where am I? What? Good night. What happened to my notes? Who stole my notes? You know, and then I go, I'll do like this. I say, okay, now. And it'll come back to me. And I find myself imitating my teacher. And folks, what I'm saying is, you need to let Jesus be your teacher. You see, he was full of grace and he was full of truth. He had that balance. He had them both, but he had them both working at the same time. And the more you're in the book, the more like Jesus you'll become. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody leave just yet. I'll dismiss you in just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. I know I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. Raise your hand and testify. You know Christ is your personal Savior. There's no doubt about it. If you died right now, you're going to heaven, and you know that beyond any shadow of doubt, you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Absolutely no doubt in your mind. Amen. You may put your hands down. Now, dear friends, heads bowed and eyes closed, listen to me. I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. He loves you. He gave his life for you. I wonder who here today will say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be. Would you pray for me? I couldn't raise my hand with everybody else, but I'll raise it right now and ask you to pray for me. Is there anybody like that? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Let me pray for you and ask God to help you today. Would you do that? Anybody like that? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody? All right, let me ask this. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, I am saved, but these graces, there's no real balance in my life. And the reason is because I don't read the Bible. Pastor, I can get upset quicker than anybody you ever seen. I can get distraught and out of sorts and out of fellowship with God, fly off the handle. I realize I need these graces working in my life. I need truth, but also need grace. I need zeal, but also need knowledge. Pastor, I understand that. And God's dealing with my heart this morning. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand up all over this building and let's pray about this together? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands. God bless you, folks. Amen. All right, now let's do something about that this morning. Don't just go out the same way you came in. Let's make a decision for the Lord this morning. We're going to stand in a moment, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And those of you that raised your hand, I want you to leave your seat and come and tell God what's on your heart this morning. And let's do some business with the Lord today. All right, our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Our Sunday school staff and bus workers can be dismissed. Everybody stand with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'll touch our hearts with what we've heard this morning. Lord, give us understanding of the truths of thy word. May the Holy Spirit of God just draw us close to you. And Lord, I pray for these that raise their hand. And Lord, there's a need there. And I pray that you'll meet that need in their heart. Oh, dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Now do your work in our midst, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.